Good afternoon, everyone. Wake up. Good afternoon, everyone. Come on. Before we get started, I am going to ask all of you to put your pocket computers on silent. Make sure we don't have any disruptions during the seminar. But don't put those phones away, because we are going to be taking questions during the seminar using Slido. You can use the QR code, which is not up there right now, but it's coming. You can use the QR code or link that's going to be on the slide and the hashtag showing the presentation screens behind me in a minute for Q&A and for polling. It will come up at the end of the seminar as well if you miss it in the beginning. Finally, at the end of the seminar, you can use the Crufers Conference app to provide feedback on this seminar during a quick two-question survey. So I really encourage you to do that. That helps our seminar selection subcommittee to craft and tailor content for you in the future that is more helpful. So without further ado, with the housekeeping done, I'd like to introduce our fantastic speaker for today. Those of you who were in the Thrive seminar know I introduced myself by sharing that I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and a lot of my practices come from that community. One of those is that we never wait to the end to clap. Right? Like, we don't wait to the end of the clap. When we hear something impressive, we hear something positive, we put sauce on it, all right? So you ready for this introduction? Okay. Lindsay Maluquito is the founder and editor of the amazing nonprofit media publication Beer is for Everyone. She is a mixed Indigenous, brown, queer craft beer lover with a passion for social justice. Originally from Hawaii, she moved to Las Vegas in 2014 to pursue a career as a professional poker player. Come on. Additionally, she is completing the final phases of her PhD in Indigenous education. I am so happy to introduce your presenter for Crafting Cultural Appreciation in the Alcohol Industry, Lindsay.
Thank you, Dr. J. Welcome all. In Hawaii, we greet each other with a term, aloha, and as a means of mutual respect in reciprocity. So before we engage in this workshop, if you guys wouldn't mind humbly engaging with me, and we're going to start off this practice by saying a greeting. So I'm going to say aloha, and you're going to say it back. Ready? All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, that was great. All right. Thank you for doing that. So trigger warning, this seminar will feature some disturbing images and stories that may be triggering to some folks. So if at any time you leave, I'm totally okay with that. But yes, on to better things. How are we all doing today? Good? Is anybody hungover? Well, I know that I want to be, but so let's start this off. So Dr. J, oh, I need to go to the slides. Hello. So here's the QR code. If you guys could take out your smartphones and scan it. And then if you have any questions, just put them in the Slido, and then we'll touch on them at the end. But there will be two questions that I hope that you guys will participate in during the presentation. So Dr. J already introduced me, and I didn't know that was going to happen, so I have all these notes introducing myself. It's so pathetic. I need notes to introduce myself. But yes, this is me. All right, let's go. So first off, I want to acknowledge that we are on Native land, and I want to say a big mahalo to the Dakota people of Minneapolis and Minnesota. And as always, we should acknowledge that we are on Native land, so we should respect and give gratitude for them as well. I also want to honor the Southern Paiute of Las Vegas, as well as the Kanaka Maoli of the Pai Aina of Hawaii. All right, so if you don't know, this presentation is going to be a mix of cultural appropriation as well as cultural appreciation. We're going to jump into it by looking at a couple examples of cultural appropriation as well as a case study within the beer industry. And then we're going to jump into balancing it out with cultural appreciation and how to do that in a respectful and strategic manner. Okay, so throughout this presentation, I'm going to be using a bunch of quotes to ground us in the content. And so we start off with a Cherokee scholar named Thomas King said, "The truth about stories is that that's all we are." So the stories we tell matter, right? Individually, we are made up of thousands and thousands of stories. And the amalgamation of those stories make up our identity. Therefore, the stories we tell make us who we are. So, in addition to that, another way to look at that is we're also part of cultures, right? So we're a part of these groups, and those groups we belong to are because we share similar stories. We share the stories that of our people, of our origins, of our values, our communities, our language, and those stories are worth protecting because they are who we are, and they define us. So I'm not going to read the slide because y'all can read, but so basically culture is an important part of this whole presentation, so I'm going to leave that there for a second. And then the cultural wheel is something that we use in academics as describing the different components that make up culture. So if we can all take out Slido and take a moment to write, what do you know about cultural appropriation? List an example of cultural appropriation. And then I'm going to go to the next slide to see if anybody has anything to say. And this doesn't have to be in the beer industry. It can just be any type of cultural appropriation that you are familiar with. All right, so I see some coming in. Ooh, this is going fast. Considering tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo parties and celebrations, margarita parties, spirit animals, the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you guys have touched a lot on a couple very pronounced examples of cultural appropriation in American culture. Dreamcatchers, yes. Okay, so keep them coming in. We're going to let them populate for a second. Doing a literal Mexican lager just for the sake of it being a Mexican lager, yes. Let's powwow on that topic. All right, so you guys are definitely familiar with cultural appropriation, so that is fantastic. All right, so for those of you who are less familiar, cultural appropriation is basically plagiarism of somebody's culture. So going back to the idea of stories, cultural appropriation happens when someone takes a story that does not belong to them and use it in a way that's disrespectful to the original storytellers. So I have a picture of the tiki bar, and I will explain why that's significant in a bit. But it's not just about the story, though. It's about whose stories are being misappropriated. So cultural appropriation happens when a dominant culture takes things from another culture that is experiencing oppression. So the key point is that it's coming from a culture that is experiencing oppression. And we have a couple of lovely costumes to our right of people who think that cultural appropriation is a fantastic idea for Halloween. Okay, so I used the good old Google and did a search for cultural appropriation and found these examples. So we see cultural appropriation happening all the time, everywhere, from sports to festivals to Halloween to fashion to food. So there are some lovely people who think that this is okay for Halloween. And there were people who did not want me to include this slide because of the comment that it is not cultural appropriation, it is just racism. However, I would like to point out that cultural appropriation is racism and that racism is a spectrum and there are varying degrees of racist behavior and none of them are right. And they can be perpetrated by anyone. One of the most common questions that we get is, can non-white people cultural appropriate? And the truth is, absolutely. Like, everybody is guilty of cultural appropriating at one point or another. It's how we deal with it. So, an American professor of Africana studies, Dr. Maluna Karenga, so eloquently put it, self-determination is the right to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves instead of being defined, named, created, and spoken for by others. So one of the examples that somebody used is Kim Kardashian. So there she is. And to share an example of a recent story of cultural appropriation that hits home for me is poke. Has anybody heard of poke? All right. So poke originated in Hawaii, and the technical linguistic term for poke means to cut into cubes, one-inch cubes. However, that has come to be known on the continent as a bowl of rice and fish and a Chipotle-style line where you create your own avocado bowl. And so that's an example of cultural appropriation that happens in food. To take it another step, Aloha Poke Co. out of, I believe, Chicago, decided to trademark the word Aloha Poke so that no other person in the United States can use it, which meant that the mom and pop shop that I grew up from could not be Aloha Poke anymore. And this was not only cultural appropriation, but it was silencing. It was erasure, and our people were not having it. So an example of when cultural appropriation happens and it can go very wrong is that hundreds and hundreds of people stood up for this, and there are Facebook groups that are like, no, Aloha Poke Co. is not a thing. And they decided to write hundreds and hundreds of Yelp reviews to bring them from 5 stars down to 1. And subsequently, many of their stores closed down. Okay, so now that we've seen some examples, we will take a look at why it's problematic. So it continues the oppression of the non-dominant culture. Many of us in marginalized cultures are still just trying to survive, and therefore having our elements and our motifs and our culture taken and used in ways that they were never meant to, it further harms us and further creates a barrier to us succeeding. It neglects to give people credit for their own culture. Regalia is not a costume. And one day, Victoria's Secrets will understand that. It creates stereotypes. It falsely captures cultures in a standstill perspective. So culture is a living, breathing, dynamic thing. And it is constantly changing and adapting. However, by culturally appropriating, it often puts that culture in a museum. It makes it so that there is only one facet of that culture being shown. So instead of a multidimensional, beautiful culture, it is diminished down to one dimension. It also produces a shallow representation of the culture without understanding the meanings behind it. All of that harms the people that belong to this culture. All right, so happy stuff. So the next 2 slides are definitions, because in order to understand each other, we have to speak the same language. So what is cultural exchange? Cultural exchange implies a mutual and beneficial, and I really emphasize mutual and beneficial, sharing of cultures and beliefs. It is viewed as inevitable and contributing to diversity and free expression. It is seen as something which is usually done out of admiration of the cultures being imitated with no intent to harm. And what is cultural appreciation? Cultural appreciation is when you earnestly seek to learn about or explore a different culture. You learn, you listen, you strive to understand, you seek to honor its beliefs and traditions, not for your own personal gain, money, fame, clout, or that Instagram photo, but to simply honor the culture and its people. In Hawaiian, we have a proverb that goes, Nana kamaka ho'olohe kapeao pa'akawaha, which translates to observe with the eyes, listen with the ears, and shut your mouth. It was often said in reference to how we learn from our elders. We would go and sit with our elders as they talked, and we would just absorb and be sponges. Okay, so now we get to the beer. How does this relate to the beer and alcohol industry? If we can take a moment and write down how this can relate to your brewery or to the industry as a whole, that would be great. All right, considering what images we use on our labels, beer names and depictions on labels. All right, so a lot of labels and naming of beers. Use of imagery and marketing branding when the company has no link to that culture. Respect for style guidelines. Celebrations that appropriate culture. So we're currently in May, which is supposed to be Asian American Pacific Islander Month. And there are so many people who for the 31 days in May are very much advocates for our cultures, yet the other days of the year, it goes to deaf ears. So I know that many of you in this room have experience with that as well. So yes. Okay, so now we have a case study. So Example Brewing Company out of Somewhere, USA, decided it would be a good idea to create this label. Does anybody immediately find a problem with this label? Okay, why? You raised your hand. I know you know. Okay. All right, cool. So he's from Waikiki, so he knows. Yes, the Angry Red Hawaiian is a rendition of something that actually exists out in this world. And for a lot of people, this is not problematic. However, there is an association, a couple associations here that are inherently problematic, and I'm going to tell you. So first, being a Kanaka Maoli, a Native Hawaiian, I was offended by the name, Angry Hawaiian. I understand that it's in reference to the jalapeno that is used in the beer. However, choosing to use the name of an entire ethnic population to serve the brewery's own agenda just does not seem right. Next, upon closer examination of the design, there's a gross lack of understanding of our culture. This is a Tahitian fire dancer, and Tahiti and Hawaii, while sharing oceanic roots, are not the same thing. And they're not interchangeable or synonymous. So that is an example of erasure. Next, as Brother Man over here said, tiki is not only for Hawaii, but in addition, these are sacred symbols of our gods. the fact that they're commonly used as party idols is very harmful to the fact that these are statues that we use to celebrate and to honor the people that we believe in. Third, and this one is a little bit deeper, the association with pineapples being Hawaiian is super problematic. Has anybody heard of Dole pineapple? Dole pineapple? All right, so most of you may not know that there are historical implications behind pineapple and Hawaii. So specifically, Dole Plantation, Dole Pineapple, was founded by the Dole family, and it was the same Dole family, Sanford B. Dole, who was one of the leading people behind the illegal overthrow of our Hawaiian kingdom in 1893. Dole imprisoned our queen and threatened to commit genocide on our people if she did not abdicate the throne. And so the association with pineapples being Hawaiian is harmful and hurtful to this day. And Hawaiian pizza is still not a thing. So while we understand that the brewery that created this originally probably meant to do no harm, and there are many people who would have no problem with this, we can do better, and we should do better. We encourage, true understanding of culture, not just on the surface. Not just take fragmented pieces of each culture in order to fit your own agenda, but to actually be with that culture in order to know it. Okay, so what do we do when we've wronged? Another quote by Thomas King: do the stories we tell reflect the world as it truly is, or did we simply start off with the wrong story? So look, the first thing is, we're all going to make mistakes. I will make mistakes, you will make mistakes, but it's how we honor those mistakes and move forward that matters. So I like to start with these five strategies. And in all honesty, you just Google how to make an apology. Listen without getting defensive. Be sincere and honest about the situation. Offer an explanation. And this one's important. You have to be accountable. You're not making excuses. And agree to make changes moving forward. And the last one, if you can and if you're able to, request forgiveness from the wronged parties. So, as the late, great Maya Angelou said, do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. So, maybe the stories that we tell initially weren't the right ones, but we have the power to change them. So here are a few ways to promote cultural appreciation in beer. And as many of you said, ingredients, can art, names, and labels are huge. And they're the most and probably the easiest ways to implement cultural appreciation. That being said, the use of ingredients. So in Hawaii, there are a few ingredients that are very near and dear to our hearts. Not pineapple, but, there are ingredients such as lihing, which comes from the Chinese source. But any time that there's a beer that has lihing in it, I'm like, I need that. I need that right now. I don't care where it's coming from. I'm going to pay that $60 shipping. And so cultural appreciation and having people understand that that matters, it will bring revenue to your brewery. I don't need to say it. Can art, names, and labels are a huge thing. They're very important. They're the first thing that your consumer sees. So to do that right, it actually takes some time, but it's worth it in the long run. On the harder end of things, workplace culture and atmosphere, how do you develop and maintain a workplace culture that allows for culture to flourish, to grow? One of the fun experiments I like to do in meetings sometimes is in a workplace meeting, mark down the frequency of times people are speaking and look at the demographic of people who are speaking most. And then, depending on how your results fare, realize who needs to be talking, who needs to have their voice heard, who needs to be asked, what do you think about this? Because you haven't said anything. And maybe speaking is not the only way to communicate with people. So we need to create places where diversity and this appreciation can actually transpire. On that note, community integration, partnerships, and relationships. So not only your brewery is situated within a community, and if you would like to participate in that community, that requires integration into that community. You need to see yourself as a part of that community. And in a lot of ways, that's sometimes hard for our breweries because we are often in gentrified areas, and that creates a whole different layer of things, but that's also another conversation. So here's a long list of cultural appreciation strategies that we are going to go through. This will be available on the PDF of the presentation, so feel free to not have to look that closely. So this is number one, and I can't stress this enough. Develop a genuine and conscious relationship with the members of the culture you are trying to include. A genuine, conscious, intentional relationship is not transactional. We are not approaching people because you want something out of that. You know, we need to start off with no expectations. Identify and set your intentions. So, are you going in with the intention of trying to get somebody to come to your brewery? Or are you trying to build something that is lifelong and that can outlast, say, this round of beers? Next, create, adapt, and maintain a mission and value system for your brewery that aligns with cultural appreciation. Educate yourself and your staff. Do I understand the history of this element or symbol that I'm trying to use? Is it universal to this culture, or is it part of a specific subculture? And does that element have any racist implications that we might not be aware of? Ask questions and check your own bias. How can I push past my fear of not knowing or asking the wrong thing? How can I decenter myself in order to focus on the truth? Am I leading with bias or with openness and humility? We all make mistakes, like I said before. Honor the space of that vulnerability. Another key one, be aware of power differentials. Where did these resources originate? Are those the same people who have the power over them today? Are they able to control how these resources are used, and do they benefit from them? What is my relative position to this power? Even more, learn how power is perceived in different cultures. For example, in Hawaiian, age plays a significant factor in power dynamics. Next, be humble and accept correction. Is someone from within the culture telling me something is off? If so, how can I reevaluate my actions? How can I open up myself to their insights and incorporate their perspective? And am I signaling gratitude for their education? Oftentimes we get so defensive, and I think that is a natural human response. However, if we unlearn that, we have the opportunity to be more open with each other. Next, check your resources. Am I seeking out my own perspective in somebody else's voice? Am I just trying to find the perspective that matches mine? Is the information filtered through somebody else's lens? Am I seeing an experience that is whitewashed? Next, seek multiple perspectives. Am I focusing too much on one person's perspective? Even if it deviates from the majority opinion, is there too much emphasis on one? Am I looking past the majority to hear the dissenters' voices? Do I recognize that cultures are multifaceted with vastly varying experiences? So often when we're dealing with racial culture, we see people homogenizing us into a singular opinion. And just because I have one person's opinion from that group, it means that is what everybody else thinks. And that is not true. Consider your setting. Am I appreciating this aspect of a culture in an appropriate setting? Is this a time when cultural insiders would do what I am doing? Do I understand how my actions connect to the setting? Is my appreciation of the setting enhanced by my efforts to fit in and follow along? All right, so this is my favorite one. Accept the whole. Am I cherry-picking my favorite parts of a country or culture and leaving the rest behind? Is my understanding and participation superficial? So, like I said before, please do not cherry-pick and fragment a whole culture. Next, honor individuals. Am I honoring the lived experience of specific individuals? Am I learning their stories and sharing with them as well? Next, and this is a very important one for the brewery industry as well as other businesses, consider who is profiting. Who is benefiting from my appreciation? Is someone profiting financially or through exposure and popularity? If so, is that person belong to that culture? Does that person have an interest in building that culture? And have they researched it? And have they made efforts for a sincere, deep understanding? Next, gain consent, give credit, and compensate. Have I asked for consent? Am I giving proper attributions? Have I thanked those who are helping me in my journey towards a cross-cultural appreciation and connection? Have I used my financial resources to compensate those who are including and educating me? Lastly, share others and yourself. So in a reciprocity relationship, we must share ourselves as well. Am I centering myself in this learning, or am I centering those who have provided resources? Am I claiming to be an expert, or am I directing others to original and own voice sources? Am I reciprocating by sharing my own honest cultural experiences? All right, so why does this matter? So it promotes greater diversity socially and economically. It promotes representation, stronger relationships with current and former consumers. All right, so I'm talking way too fast, and I'm only on 30 minutes, so I'm going to ask the audience, why does this matter? And this is not on Slido, so just yell. Why does cultural appreciation matter? Because everybody matters. Thank you. Equity. Thank you. All right, so with greater diversity in your taproom comes greater economic revenue. I have no statistics on it, but it's my belief, so we're going to go with it. The next is representation. So we want to feel represented in the spaces that we partake in, right? We want to be able to feel like we belong. And by actually appreciating the cultures that exist in your communities and in your consumers, that creates stronger relationships. So, to end, in closing, I'd like to leave you with this quote by Nigerian poet Ben Okri. If we change the stories we live by, quite possibly we change our lives. So let us all tell the right stories, and it is my belief that maybe, just maybe, we'll change the world. All right, so any questions? And again, really sorry. I am not a presenter, as you guys can see. Oh, okay, we're already there. What are best practices for breweries to make land acknowledgements? What are best practices for breweries to make land acknowledgements that recognize, amplify indigenous sovereignty instead of whitewashing settler colonialism? Wow, that's a heavy one. Okay. Well, I'll start off by saying don't create land acknowledgements just because you think you have to or because you think you should. You should make land acknowledgements because it is something that matters to you and to your brewery. Okay. So in understanding that, that requires you to actually go into understanding the native places that you are a part of. Many of us are settlers to the land that we currently reside, and therefore it would require us to actually have some knowledge of the places that we exist in. That's a really hard question. Okay, in all honesty, where did it go? All I can say is right now, because that's a whole different other conversation, is that land acknowledgement should be done because it matters to you and to your brewery, and go deep dive into not just the people that are there now, because a lot of migration happened, a lot of forced migration happened in the United States as well as Canada. Settler colonialism exists today on a very high level, and I think we're just beginning to talk about it. I don't know if I have enough time to talk about it here, but if anybody actually wants to have that discussion later on, definitely would love to sit down and have a beer and actually have a deep conversation about that. But in all honesty, it's not one that I believe should be said to an entire group. It's personal, and it needs to be something that is done on a one-to-one or small group basis. How does this Slido work? What are ways you could create cultural appreciation in your brewery when you are in a predominantly white, small town? Okay, so we have a great thing called the internet nowadays. Reach out. Even if your physical location is somewhere where demographically it is not as diverse, you have the opportunity on the internet to create these relationships with people. There are many groups out there, in beer especially, that there are people with wells of knowledge that they are willing to share with you. And yeah, I mean, I think that if we reach out to our resources virtually as well as physically, we could gain a better understanding of cultures that we do not belong to. And one of the things that I recommend doing, actually, is reach out to a lot of nonprofits in the spaces that you want to know about. Nonprofits are always willing to share, and they welcome people who want to learn. So I'm sure that Google can give you a bunch of nonprofits in the spaces that you want to be in, and reach out to them in a respectful and open manner, and understand that they could say no. But I believe that we all are hoping to engage together. So as a nonprofit, if there's anything that we could ever do to help educate, I know that we at Beers for Everyone would like to do that. Is there any appropriate way to do a tiki night at a brew pub? In all honesty, no. And maybe that's not the answer that people are looking for, but tiki is not meant to be something frivolous and fun as, you know, dressing up in a coconut bra and grass skirt. That is not a way to honor the gods that they are made after. I know that tiki on its own is actually a whole different cultural thing that developed from the 1950s. However, coming from an indigenous Native Hawaiian perspective and speaking as an oceanic person, it is not respectful to do so in any way. How do I get my bosses to understand why our Mexican lager style name and can art needs to be changed? I would like to, whoever posed this question, I'd like to have that conversation in a different setting. I think that getting into specifics is important, and based off the question, I can't respond beyond the fact that, you know, obviously approach your boss and, you know, explain maybe what cultural appropriation is to them. But again, there are power dynamics at play, so I would need more specifics in order to fully answer this question. What are some ways to build connections with and support other cultures and communities outside of making donations or partnering with nonprofits? Okay, so I think that's a great question. So in order to build connections, I think that we need to go back to our basic human level of appreciation, and I think it requires us to go out there. And, you know, there are events and spaces that exist in many communities that you can go to learn about that culture and to be a part of it and to sit down with them and to be a sponge and really gain knowledge without having any expectation back. And while making donations and partnering with nonprofits is great, I think true connection happens when you're just sitting down with somebody else. And so it has to happen on a very personal level. I don't know if I recommend the virtual way, but being very careful of how you approach it, because as we all know, text communication can be very misleading and miscommunication happens all the time. But, okay. We do a lot of beers inspired by and named after songs and albums. Is there anything you'd recommend we do to ensure we're appreciating and not appropriating? Well, first, I would say learn about the reason for those songs and albums. There's always inspiration behind those songs and albums. So learn what the people that originally created the content intended to do. After that, I would suggest probably categorically trying to figure out what culture you're appreciating and to actually approach that culture or approach somebody from that culture and ask, you know, like, hey, what do you think of this? Is this okay to do? And to actually have an honest discussion about it. I think that there are way too many beers that come out that include culture, not because it really actually has anything to do with the beer, but just because it's clever or it's catchy. But that's not reason enough to use a culture within beer labeling, beer naming. Also, just on a side note, I would be careful with using content from other people, as that might get into copyright things, but that's a whole other issue. You referred to gain consent, give credit, and compensate. Any best practices for gaining consent from varied groups? So I would suggest, again, to reach out to nonprofits, because they are some of the more understanding of groups, because they are there in order to educate and to promote their group. So yeah, I would say that to best practice would be to reach out to a nonprofit within the cultural group that you're trying to receive consent from and have a conversation with them. Have a beer with them. So my suggestion would be to buy them a beer and listen. Examples, suggestions on how to move folks from performative allyship onto action. Thank you. Thank you for this question. So performative allyship is always very superficial, right? So a lot of the problem that people run into is intent. No matter how good of intentions you have, you can always still harm. You can always still hurt people. So I think the way to move past performative allyship is to sit in that uncomfortable space of, you know, am I the right person to do this? Am I in this space where I am allowing other voices to be heard? It's having those really hard conversations with yourself. and realizing that there are always going to be room for improvement. How long do these questions last? Oh, God. All right. Oh, I can decide. Awesome. Okay. Well, I'll answer a couple more questions, but I do want to say that I am not an expert in this. It is my lived experience, but I am in no means an expert. As you can see, I'm stumbling over everything. And the best way that you can learn about cultural appreciation is to just go out there and do it. And you're going to make mistakes along the way, but as long as you're doing it and as long as you're trying, you know, like, you're going to get there. Okay. So earlier you talked about inauthentic participation in Asian Pacific, American. What are some authentic ways that breweries can support similar month-long awareness campaigns? Well, I would say first off, don't make it a month thing. Do it all year long. You know, coming from the queer community, only seeing Pride being supported in June is not exactly support. You want to support all year long. So I would say, you know, like, don't wait until these months happen in order to show your support. Because, well, hey, we're awesome year-round, so that needs to happen. what's your favorite beer style? Just to give you a softball. All right. Yes, thank you. I can answer this one, no problem. So my favorite beer style is stouts. I love stouts. Yes, and anybody that knows me knows I love banana beer, so banana stouts, I'm all that. All right. Have you come across any examples of breweries that have demonstrated good practice in cultural appreciation? Genuine. Yes. There have been many breweries that have actually participated in good examples of cultural appreciation. There are a lot of current brews out. I wish I could show you. But, you know, there are a lot of breweries that actually promote cultural appreciation by honoring people within that culture. So honoring historical figures within that culture, and they've actually, in addition to putting a picture of that person on the can, they have a story so that it not only educates their consumers, but it honors that person in the process. Yes. Okay. How would you recommend responding to consumer pushback criticism of being too woke? Well, I'd ask in return, what kind of consumers do you want to have? Do you want to have consumers who are offended by the fact that you are too woke? Which, you know, we just want everybody to have a fair space and to have a safe space. And, I think that the only thing that I can say is that that's not the consumer you want. And obviously, coming from a non-owner background, it's hard to say that without sounding like I don't understand the world. But in all honesty, I think that we need to frame our work around the type of consumer we want to have, and not adapt to the consumer that exists. We want to build a world for the future, and maybe that starts with that. Okay, I'm going to end. All right. And may the 4th be with you all. There are stickers down here if you guys want to take any. And information about our organization. So, and stay for the next presentation because they're awesome.